This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Computers, cell phones, PDAs, iPods, and iPhones. In this brave new multitasking world, we can drive our cars, listen to the radio, receive text messages, make phone calls all at the same time. So what was it like before we were constantly connected? Carolyn Johnson says it was boring. And that, she argues, might have been a good thing. Johnson covers business for the Boston Globe and wrote a piece called The Joy of Boredom, and she joins us now. Welcome, Carolyn.
Hi, thanks.
So what do we lose when we find ways again and again to avoid boredom?
Well, if you've ever had moments where you are bored, you often realize that when you're in a state of complete restlessness, you're driven to think of a new activity to do, or you kind of contemplate a larger problem. You might think of a loved one or feel kind of universal human feelings like homesickness, uncertainty, longing, desire, loneliness. And it also might drive you to create something new that you couldn't find on your cell phone or on your iPod, just out of the pure drudgery of the moment.
So boredom is something that has been useful to us in some way.
I'm not sure everyone would agree with that, because it's obviously an unpleasant emotion. And what technology has given us is the ability to escape in about 1,000 different ways all the time, every minute. And a cell phone company, Motorola, has even coined a term called microboredom to describe the smaller moments that people can now try and distract themselves from. And that could be the time between putting items on a conveyor belt at the grocery store, which normally I don't think you would think of as boredom. But now you can check your text messages between the milk and the bread.
You also mentioned that we might not understand the value of boredom because boredom has never really caught the attention of the psychological world. What do you mean by that? Why is that?
Well, I think people, when you ask them, do you feel bored? What do you do when you're bored? They say, nothing. I do nothing. And if you ask someone what they do when they're fearful, they would run away or have some kind of fight or flight. And, you know, you can see how that would have a purpose. But boredom and the fact that people really think that they do nothing during it makes it sort of an odd thing to study.
You mentioned Marcel Proust as someone who put boredom to good use in some of his writing.
Right. I thought about all the great moments in literature and art and even science. A lot of them touch on these themes that seem so inherently universal, so quintessentially human, but they're born out of, like, periods of intense loneliness for the people that make them, or, you know, an attempt to communicate something larger than what's presently in their mind. I personally love that passage in Proust where Marcel, the protagonist, dips the Madeleine cookie in the tea, and he, as he savors it, he's jolted back into his senses. His entire worldview is sort of recalibrated, and he's totally immersed in memory. Everyone has had that feeling where they're idle and suddenly an unexpected thought kind of like dawns on you that you weren't even thinking of. I mean, most people often say, like, you know, I have my best thoughts in the shower. I don't think a lot of people say I have my best inspiration when I'm, you know, twiddling with my iPod and texting my friend.
Well, Carolyn, thanks for coming in and talking about this. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
That's Carolyn Y. Johnson. She covers business for the Boston Globe. Her piece, The Joy of Boredom, appeared in the paper this past Sunday.